You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 6th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to have a look at the way diversity is being promoted everywhere throughout all the institutions of Britain, and also in Ireland as well, if we get time for this. The first little bit of diversity I think we should take a look at is something that the British Museum is highlighting. Apparently, we have something called LGBTQ History Month, which is, I guess, when we just concentrate on homosexuals in history, which is going to be a little bit difficult since it was illegal, I think, in Britain for many years. Sodomy was illegal in Britain. We even had a death penalty for it. I'm not quite sure how long that existed for, but we do find bodies every now and then that were thrown into the bog, which were apparently a death penalty for homosexuals many years ago. I think that's in the German histories. And the British Museum is promoting something to do with LGBTQ history, which seems to have a bit of a connection to paedophilia. The British Museum has promoted an ancient Roman cup thought by experts to depict child sex as part of LGBTQ History Month. And of course, there's no such thing as child sex. A child cannot give consent, so what it is depicting is child rape. Is that supposed to be what we're celebrating? Well, the British Museum is actually hiding this. They're just showing the side of the cup which shows adult gay sex. The Warren Cup, an ancient Roman artefact that is thought to have been made around the 1st century AD, has been promoted by the British Museum as part of LGBTQ History Month, despite the fact that one side of the cup is thought to depict a paedophilic sex act. So it seems as if back then, in Roman times, homosexuality was also linked with paedophilia. And of course, as we've pointed out here at Radio Album, pedophiles today are organised. They're trying to organise themselves politically, and they're trying to piggyback on the back of LGBTQ rights. And this is not something that's only just recently happened. They were doing this in the 70s, in the big marches that took place in America to legalise LGBTQ rights. There was an organisation called NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, and they were an accepted part of the gay pride parades and the gay pride protests that were taking place in North America. Whether that was wanted by the rest of the LGBTQ people or not, I don't know, but they certainly were a part of that, and they was quite open about the fact that they wanted to use gay rights as a way for them to get the age of consent lowered so that these child abuse could effectively take place within the law. And what we see today, we see in places like California, they have changed the law so that they say that an adult can then have underage sex with a child. And the excuse they used for that was that there were too many homosexuals were being charged with this crime. So because there were so many of them were being charged with this crime, they said that it's homophobic. It's a homophobic law. I can't recall the exact wording of it. I don't know whether it goes down to 14 years old or 10 years old, but we certainly see that sort of thing happening in California. And over here in Britain, we see that the Scottish police recently used the term minor attracted persons. Pedophiles are trying to get themselves rebranded as just being minor attracted rather than wanting to abuse children. And it seems here that the Romans were aware of there being a link between homosexuality and child abuse. And I'm surprised that the British Museum have put this cup forward as a way to celebrate LGBTQ History Month, but perhaps it implies that it's actually very difficult to separate pedophilia from homosexuality in the ancient world. I think that is what this really implies here. In a post on social media on Friday, the British Museum promoted the Warren Cup as part of the progressive celebrations taking place this month. February is hashtag LGBTQ History Month, the museum wrote on social media, accompanying its post with emojis depicting a white flag and a rainbow. And I mean, it could be said that using the rainbow as a flag for homosexuals, that is deliberately trying to appeal to children. Children like things like rainbows. And then you have the unicorn that's used as well, the gender unicorn that they use when teaching children about this. And that seems to have become a bit of a homosexual symbol or emblem. And then you think, well, why are they using a flag? Isn't a flag used for a country, for an empire, something like that? So what are they saying here? Are they saying that homosexuals make up a nation within a nation? I mean, there are all sorts of questions that we could ask about why they use the rainbow, why they use this imagery. And the British Museum say, made around AD 10, the Warren Cup is decorated with two scenes of male lovers. It continues, adding that it supposedly couldn't be displayed for most of the 20th century due to homosexuality being illegal in England and Wales until 1967. And effectively, it was sodomy that was illegal up until 1967. And this cup does have two scenes, and the British Museum are admitting that it has two scenes, but they're only showing the scene which shows two adults in their tweet. The social media post refrains from mentioning that the cup is not thought to depict merely homosexual acts, but also child sex, with side B of the vessel appearing to depict an older youth sodomising what is described by multiple sources, including the British Museum itself, as a boy. And it does seem as if what we today call homosexuality was linked with pedophilia in the ancient world. And the Greeks were against this, and it did happen that there were older men that would sodomize male youths. And homosexuals today will say, well, look, it was accepted in ancient Greece. Why can't we accept it today? And it wasn't accepted in ancient Greece. People were against it, but it went on. And I think people were against it in Rome, but it went on. And this is why this cup was here. It was probably the equivalent of something that you wouldn't be shown to polite people back then. Maybe it was some sort of a lewd drinking vessel that would have been used amongst adults, but it certainly would have been frowned upon. And I think in the later Roman years, there was a lot of debauchery that went on, and that weakened Rome. I mean, that was the reason why Rome fell. When the Vandals and the Germanic tribes went into Carthage in North Africa, they were shocked to see the licentiousness that was going on and the prostitution, and they made it all illegal, and they banned it, and they reinstituted marriage. There's a good book that talks about that called Are We a Declining Race? An Old Sailor's Tale. And we do have the audiobook version of that at Radio Albion, if you look up the audiobooks archive. Getting back to the article here, on the reverse of the cup, the erastes, which is ancient Greek for the penetrative, often older partner in a homosexual relationship, the erastes is a beardless youth crowned with a wreath, and the oromenos, the passive partner who is penetrated during sex, is a boy. One webpage on the vessel published by the museum reads. So they're saying here, they say often the older partner is depicted with a beard. So that's that is accepting that in a lot of these cases, it is an adult male with a young child that is being depicted here. It is pedophilia. And that is often linked with homosexuality in the ancient world. The page goes on to describe the ages of all those depicted on the cup as being carefully shown, with the boy's hair being highlighted as evidence of his prepubescence. Both partners in the reverse scene have long locks of hair. The youth is bound up and the boy's loose, the site reads. Such locks were worn by Greek boys and were offered to the gods in a rite celebrated at puberty. So there's no way that you can argue that this isn't a boy that hasn't actually been through puberty that is being sodomized here on the base of the cup. And the British Museum are holding this cup up as a way to celebrate LGBTQ month. In an academic journal originally published in the Art Bulletin, historian John R. Clarke also describes the two individuals engaged in anal sex on side B of the Warren Cup as clearly of unequal age, with the size and hairstyle of the individual being sodomized, indicating that he is a child. And that's what this was looked on back then. It was looked upon as sodomy. It wasn't looked upon as that was an identity that these people took. It was something that some people engaged in. They didn't identify then as that was their lifestyle or anything like that. It was a thing of domination, basically, of dominating people. Similarly, in the way that it would sometimes get you hear of it being used in prisons, and it's a way to humiliate somebody and dominate somebody. And that's the way that it was used in the ancient world. That's still the way that it's used today. If you think when Gaddafi was butchered in Libya, they sodomized him before butchering him. And yet we're told today that this is somehow an act of love. And I guess you could say, well, obviously rape isn't an act of love, so that's being misused there. So you do have these different arguments. But effectively, what they're saying today is that sodomy is now an identity. People that engage in sodomy, they identify, that is a central point to their identity, and that makes them a minority. And the rainbow is the symbol that they use for these people, and everybody has been told they have to celebrate this. I mean, the British Museum is having to celebrate this. All the institutions that we have are legally mandated to promote diversity, and that is a part of diversity. Of course, it also includes non-whites. It also includes transgenders. It can also include women, if you have somewhere that doesn't have very many women working in it. Now, that's all diversity, and all the institutions have to promote this. The long locks of hair of the male in front, as well as his smaller size, indicate that he is a boy, the article reads, adding the artist has represented one of the man's testicles directly behind the boy's, indicating that he is entering him. So, I mean, this is quite blatant child abuse propaganda that is on the back of this cup, and the cup is being held up as being some positive example of things that we can do now, as we can show this cup because it was banned when sodomy was illegal. So it appears that the British Museum are celebrating child abuse here. In a statement on the post, because they were asked about this, the British Museum stood by highlighting the object as part of their commemorations of LGBTQ history. So they're not saying, well, we're sorry about this, we overlooked the fact that it had child abuse on the back of it. They're saying, well, this is essentially a part of LGBTQ history and we should be commemorating it. They said the Warren Cup dates to AD 10 and the images on it were common in the ancient Roman world when relationships between older and younger men were tolerated. So they're saying that pedophilia was common in the ancient world, and that was the form that what we today would call homosexuality. That was the form that homosexuality took. Now, you would think that because that was so essential to homosexuality back then, that people would be concerned about homosexuality today and think, well, there needs to be more of a concern about young boys and young children around homosexuals because there is this historic link between homosexuality and child abuse. But no, we do the complete opposite today, and we have Drag Queen Story Hour, and we deliberately set up an environment where homosexuals can encounter young children, and nobody seems to be concerned about it. And of course, I'm not saying that all homosexuals are a threat around children or they are child abusers. What I'm doing is pointing out that there is a historic link between child abuse and homosexuality, which would, you know, it should mean that we are a little bit more careful around children with homosexuals than you would be with children around heterosexuals. The museum say there is no suggestion the imagery is acceptable by today's standards. We have highlighted it as a historical object as part of LGBTQ History Month, they add, as if depictions of pedophilia are indeed an appropriate thing to showcase in this context. And I'm pointing out that it's not the fact that the imagery isn't acceptable by today's standards. It's the fact that what the imagery shows is that there is this historical link between homosexuality and pedophilia. And because of that link and because of statistics regarding the amount of child abuse that a lot of these homosexuals will admit to, because of that, we should be more concerned when we have children around homosexuals. I mean, things such as Drag Queen Story Hour, where we put homosexuals who are adult entertainers together with small children, should not be happening. If people want to see adult homosexual entertainers, they should be over the 18 to do that, and it should be within a club. It shouldn't be within a children's context at a children's library, surely. This is only the latest scandal relating to paedophilia to take place within Britain's institutions, with police in Scotland also recently being caught referring to paedophiles in the softer preferred terminology as minor attracted persons. And we did do a Daily Nationalist on that. So I think what we can see here is that with this push to promote diversity, and specifically with this push to promote homosexuality, the organisations doing this cannot help but, if they're going to show it within a historical context, they cannot but show a link between homosexuality and paedophilia. And we all seem to be ignoring that in our drive to make homosexuals feel welcome and feel included. We seem to have forgotten in that that we also have an obligation to protect children. Well, as I said, I wanted to have a look today at the way that all of this diversity is being pushed throughout society. And we also have the people that are doing it that are paid an absolute fortune. At a cost of over £1.3 million per year, Britain's tax collecting agency, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, is reportedly employing some 22 full-time diversity officers. As the British taxpayer is suffering under the highest tax burden since the Second World War, the very agency tasked with collecting hard-earned cash from the public is splashing out an estimated 1,393,885 pounds on woke diversity officers. So 22 full-time diversity officers in the tax office. And what is their remit? What is it they're supposed to do? Well, it's promote diversity. So it means to promote homosexuals, to promote migrants, to promote refugees, to promote women in areas where you wouldn't expect women to be, perhaps in the accounts department, things that are to do with mathematics. So their job role is just to promote the replacement of white males, basically, and to promote the replacement of heterosexuals, and to say, well, you should be employing this person because of their sexuality, rather than saying, well, you should be employing this person because of their merits and because of their qualifications. According to a report from Guido Fawkes, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs has added 6 more diversity and inclusion officers to its ranks since August, taking the total to 22 full-time employees and adding an additional £374,000 in yearly salary commitments. So they're taking on more and more of these people. You've got the Conservative government, which is saying that we've gone too far with all of this. We need to stop having all of these diversity programs and teachings that everybody in the civil service has to go along to. And yet we still have the civil service and the tax man employing these people that are just there to encourage the replacement of the people that actually built the country and built these institutions. The report claims that at least two officers are paid a staggering £80,000 a year, while seven are paid £66,000 per year, and a further seven are paid £42,000. And as of the time of publication, £1 exchanges for $1.21. So it's obviously doesn't just translate into dollars. Commenting on this frivolous spending by the tax agency, Joe Venter of the Taxpayers Alliance told the Times, "Taxpayers are tired of diversity demagogues draining the exchequer dry. While public bodies have clear duties under the Equality Act, there is no scenario in which this number of right on rolls is necessary. Public sector bosses need to get a grip." And of course, most people will look at that and think, well, the Equality Act, it just means that should be equality between people, that you can't discriminate against somebody on the basis of their sex or their gender or their ethnicity or anything like that, which you know, it's quite a noble aim to prevent that. And we should prevent that. But that's not what's going on here, is it? What we're being told is that instead of not discriminating against people on that basis, we actually need to discriminate against white men and replace as many white men as possible with these other groups. And instead of taking people on based simply upon merit and qualifications, we need to be adding to that and taking people on purely because of their minority status in order to get more from that minority status into these companies. So it's not equality, is it? It's the complete opposite of a meritocracy if you're going to have diversity quotas. And that's effectively what these diversity and inclusion officers are doing. They're trying to increase the diversity, basically, at the company, which equates to the replacement of heterosexual white males. Although it is unclear as to what exactly the need for diversity officers is in the collection of tax revenue, HMRC's website claims that its diversity goals include fighting discrimination, harassment, and victimisation while promoting equal opportunity. Well, we know what the need is for diversity officers. It's this need that all these companies feel to replace white people with non-whites. Defending the spending money on diversity officers, a spokesman for HMRC insisted that the body was legally required to comply with the Equality Act 2010 and other legislation. "We rightly invest in providing extra support to people from backgrounds that have traditionally been underrepresented in the department, including certain ethnic groups, care leavers, former service personnel, and others." So they're admitting that what they're actually doing isn't equality, is it? If you're providing extra support to one particular group over the others, then you're not treating everybody equally, are you? I mean, this Equality Act isn't about treating people equally. I guess you could say it's in the same tradition as the bill to prevent usury, which was effectively a bill to allow usury. And what you have here with the Equality Act is a bill to institute inequality and get rid of a meritocracy. Despite the perhaps poorly named Conservative Party being in power for nearly 13 years, such woke spending in government departments has continued to run rampant. For example, the nation's socialised healthcare system, the NHS, currently employs at least 812 diversity officers at a cost of £40.7 million per year, roughly equivalent to the cost of 1,200 new nurses. So instead of getting people in there that can actually help people, we're just paying for people in there that are just looking for examples of microaggressions and then trying to do all they can to replace the effective people that are actually in there, the European ethnicity folk that are within the NHS. Meanwhile, police forces across the nation are also reportedly spending at least £10.2 million on diversity, inclusion and equality officers, in addition to £3.6 million, which has been spent on equality training programs. And we know what these training programs are. It's groups like Mermaids, groups like Stonewall, that tell the police that it's possible for people to change sex and how important it is for them to be policing people on Twitter. We even have at the moment in Wales, they've banned the singing of the song Delilah, because it talks about stabbing a cheating wife. And it's just a song that has been sung for many, many years. I don't think people really think about it. But because one of these groups, one of these diversity equality training programs has been in there, and equality training programs to do with women, they said, well, this encourages violence against women. So the police have then taken this political side and of promoting feminism, and they're effectively banning Delilah. And the police aren't supposed to get involved in these political things. They're not supposed to show any bias towards political groups. And yet these are all left-wing ideas that are being promoted thanks to this Equality Act that was brought in by Tony Blair. The woke drive in law enforcement has not only cost the taxpayer millions, but has also impacted the quality of officers recruited, with London's Metropolitan Police allegedly hiring functionally illiterate officers in order to increase the diversity within its ranks. And we talked about that the other day here. It's quite incredible that there are actually areas in London now that don't actually have functionally literate officers, police officers working for them, because of this drive to increase the diversity within the police. Now, as I said, this isn't just going on in Britain, this promotion of diversity, it's also going on in Ireland. Every member of the Defence Forces is to undergo training in gender, diversity and unconscious bias under a new programme. So the Defence Forces, which is something that is explicitly masculine, males have a third more body strength than females, something that is explicitly masculine, is going to be forced to go on gender diversity and unconscious bias programs. The military has put out a tender for online and in-person training programs for roughly 8,000 staff after a report last year raised concerns about a masculine culture within the Defence Forces. And to complain about a masculine culture within a masculine organisation, you want the Defence Forces to be as masculine as possible. If you look at China, they are complaining about the fact that their men are becoming feminized. They've literally banned K-pop and they've banned young boys from playing computer games because they say they're becoming feminized by all of this. And they want their defense forces to be masculine, not feminine. And what we're seeing here across the whole of the Western world is just a weakening of everything, a feminization of things that should be masculine. This program will include bespoke programs within military settings in locations around the country. In a tender notice published this week, the Defence Forces said it was striving to better represent the society they are committed to serve as Ireland's population becomes increasingly divisive. Why would you want to represent the society you are committed to serve if you're defence? I mean, if you're defending a harem, say, do you think in the ancient world they would have had women defending a harem because they needed to have the defenders representing the people that they're defending? I mean, you want the strongest and the best people to be defending you, not people that are the same as the people they're defending, surely. It follows a recommendation by the Commission on the Defence Forces that training in the areas of gender diversity and unconscious bias should be made mandatory. So they're all going to be forced to go along with this. I should imagine they probably have a test at the end of it to test like how well the brainwashing has gone in. The training will also be targeted towards the organisation's senior leadership team and should be designed to focus on real-life issues relating to areas of relevance to the military, including military scenarios and material. How are they going to talk about transgenders in military scenarios? What happens if they don't get a chance to dilate themselves? What happens if they're unable to inject themselves with the hormones that they need? And this is just a ridiculous idea, including all of this within the military. And of course, this is being done with the senior leadership team. So they're the higher ups, of course. So the more they adhere to this political correctness, the more chance they have of being advanced. And the poor privates that are under them are going to have to put up with being instructed in doing all these ridiculous things to promote all of this diversity in there. The Irish Defence Forces have a responsibility to create a working environment in which differences are respected and in which all staff are respected and valued as individuals, the tender states. Yes, that's a good idea, isn't it? Obviously, everybody needs to be respected and you should always be courteous, but that's not what this is about. The Defence Forces are seeking an external company to design and to deliver a bespoke package on gender, diversity and unconscious bias, grounded in a military context, it adds. And of course, because they're looking for an external company, what that will be is the Irish equivalent of Stonewall, which will be promoting these progressive left-wing ideas that people can actually change sex, and they'll be telling the army that they need to have allow everybody to use the same toilets. I mean, we already have these problems with these mixed platoons where the women are accusing the men of sexual harassment, and it just opens up the army and the defence forces for all sorts of claims for sexual harassment, really, doesn't it? The deadline for the tender is at the end of this month, and essential criteria required include the capability to link the training with military relevance. And, you know, if they can't actually link the training with military relevance, perhaps that might be sort of implying that it's not something that should have anything to do with the military. But this is now seen as more important than anything else, more important than merit, more important than qualifications. Just most important of all is that we replace all the competent white heterosexual males with people that have been taken on, not because of their competence, not because of their merit, not because of their qualifications, but because of who they sleep with or what colour their skin is. It's basically the complete opposite of what we are told is what we're doing here, which is promoting equality. And it's not. We're just promoting inequality. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.